This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Lingering economic scars. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. It is Monday, July the 4th. Glad you're with us on this Independence Day. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Technically, there's been a recovery from the recession, but mentally, many Americans have never bounced back. We'll examine why.
Looking for some part-time work in the coming weeks? We'll identify eight great summer jobs, not including lifeguard.
If you're planning to vacation by yourself this summer, you'll hear a list of the most popular road trips for solo travelers.
And tips for when you fire up the grill this afternoon.
You can literally do everything on a grill. Ceramics, you can bake, you can smoke, you can roast, you can do a little bit of everything on the grill. But it's the bigger part of barbecue and grilling is you're doing it typically with people that you love.
Mike Peters is host of the Great American Barbecue Tour. He's here later in the hour. Well, here's something to think about when it comes to this year's unusual political climate. The recession that started in 2007 and the financial crisis of 2008 and 9 scared and scarred the electorate more deeply and more permanently than has been recognized before. That's the conclusion of Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. Jerry, set this up.
Well, I think one of the things a lot of people have been trying to figure out, including me, is why this year politically has been so strange and unpredictable. What's going on that has produced outcomes that almost nobody saw coming, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump being the principal ones, and kind of the demise of a whole series of, you know, seemingly impressive but fairly conventional Republican presidential candidates. And I think that, you know, if you look at the public polling, one of the conclusions that you're drawn to is that basically the scars of the 2007-2008 recession and the 2008 financial collapse were deeper than probably people realized, and more importantly, I think the mental hangover from that has been much longer lasting. It continues to today, and so even people who look at the economic statistics and think or are supposed to think that there's been an economic recovery don't feel that way, and they've been scared and disillusioned by this, and I think they're reacting in ways they would not have been they would not have done ordinarily or in other times.
All right, so will people vote differently, or are they voting differently right now, or is there just more energy?
They've been voting differently all year. I mean, you know, the fact that Donald Trump, you know, did what he did in the primaries, and the fact that Bernie Sanders continues to plague Hillary Clinton, who's, you know, a very competent but very conventional candidate, tells you that people are searching for something unconventional, and that's not a revelation. I think the question has been why, and I think the answer is, at least in part, I think that, you know, that the trauma of the financial collapse, which was felt widely and in some cases by some people at least deeply, has been very real. And I think that though the statistics tell you there's been a recovery, I think mentally people think, you know, they were let down by the system. They still feel that way. They're still scared. Even if they have in their own personal life recovered, they can't seem to get over the fact that they feel like they've been burned, and I think they're reacting accordingly. And that's at least part, if not the biggest part, of the explanation for this. And it's borne out by the fact that you continue to have people who say the country's off on the wrong track in our polling, for example, even though the economic statistics are supposed to tell them the recovery has been underway for 6 years already. They just don't seem to buy it or don't feel it.
Why didn't we see this in 2012 when the recession was, well, what, 3.5 years over at that point?
Well, I think people were still sort of sorting it out in 2012, and you know, I think that I think there might have been a feeling then that the economic course would return to normal, and it really hasn't, in the sense that there's been a very weak recovery. And I think that what's happened now is that I think people have stepped back and decided that a weak economic performance feels like the new normal to them. It confirms their feelings that, you know, that there's something wrong with the system, and they think that more strongly now than they did in 2012, ironically, even though, again, the statistics tell you the recovery's been underway from well before 2012 until today.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. His piece is called "Economic Scars Help Explain Bizarre 2016 Race." How long do these scars generally last?
Well, they're permanent is, I think, one of the ways of looking at it, people never forget. And, I think the Great Depression was similar. People who went through the Great Depression and emerged on the other side of it and got on with their lives eventually never forgot the way they felt then. And, that was a reason that Franklin Roosevelt arrived and the New Deal arrived, and that there was a kind of an a political impact from the Great Depression that lasted, through the lives of people who went through the Depression. And one thing people are starting to wonder about, public opinion experts are wondering whether this is kind of now a permanent scar that people who've been through this will carry on through, and it'll have political impacts for a long time to come.
Have political leanings changed because of this, or is there just a different energy, or is a message being sent here? How do you read this?
Well, I think that there's a there may be a realignment politically underway. I think that the Donald Trump effect on the Republican Party and the Bernie Sanders effect on the Democratic Party are very real, and I think that how the two parties emerge from this is a question. I don't have the answer to that, but they may emerge different in a different shape than they enter this period. And as a result of this, we'll find out more after November, I think, but probably for years to come, they'll be sorting themselves out.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal, Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. It's 12 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Glad you could spend part of your Independence Day with us. Summer jobs, as you know, can be a rite of passage, a first step into the labor force for the young, right? But they also offer opportunities for some extra income to professionals with downtime. CareerCast.com is out with a list of great summer jobs. Kyle Kensing is the online content editor. Kyle, give us some findings.
So the travel industry is big this time of year, with an anticipated about $800 billion in total travel expenditures in the U.S. in 2016, most of that coming here in these summer months. So hotel clerks are going to be in demand to help meet that rush of lodging needs. And then in terms of entertainment with travel, you think of some of the things that that people enjoy doing. One of them, frequenting a food and beverage establishment. So bartenders are in high demand right now. And that's a pretty good one in terms of long-term part-time opportunities because of the off hours. You can work a 9-to-5 and pick up a shift at your local bar and make some extra money that way. So that's one of them that we looked at here. Child care workers, obviously, huge demand for that right now with schools being out. Kids need activities while parents are at work. So things like the Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, are always hiring in big numbers this time of year.
I was thinking about bartender, and although that does not come in as the highest paying job, in fact, I think it's the lowest paying medium wage per hour. But when you factor in tips, I guess, suddenly bartender can look very attractive.
Exactly. That's one where you're talking about most of your money coming from gratuity. So that's why the pay on that one, at a little over $9 an hour, it doesn't look that great, but then you factor in tips. That can be one of the most lucrative of these kind of part-time, summertime jobs.
I always found it surprising, too, that the child care worker doesn't earn as much as other positions. That's an enormous responsibility, say, compared to, a hotel clerk or a landscaper.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in agreement with you there. That's one that does pay a low wages. In part because these organizations aren't necessarily bringing in a ton of money, so they don't necessarily have a ton of money in turn to pay workers. But that's a great job that does a lot of good for people, and I think that if that's kind of your what you're looking to do, then that's the way to go, despite the kind of lower median pay.
That's a good point. We're speaking with Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast. They've put together a list of the best summer jobs. All right, so what else made the list?
Well, delivery driver and hand laborer, materials mover, which is kind of a warehouse worker, those were two that appeared on our freelance and part-time jobs as well. And a big reason why they're in demand here in the summertime, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics put out its JOLTS report, which is Job Openings and Labor Turnover Summary. And looking at the job openings that are coming open here at the beginning of the summer, there's a lot of positions in retail and warehousing and manufacturing right now. These are jobs that are tied into that need for delivery, a lot of people picking up their orders in commerce. So these positions right now are kind of booming, a lot more openings in that sector heading into the summer months. So that's one that's a great part-time job year-round that's really picking up here in the summertime.
How come lifeguard didn't make the list?
Lifeguard, unfortunately, one that's not listed within our jobs rated report right now. That's one that we should probably take a look at, though, because that's definitely a great summer job. I get to spend some time outside and in the sun, but that's a high-risk job as well, having to look out for a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, fair point. All right, so if you don't care to be out in this summer heat, there's always a retail sales worker for you, like perhaps a mall or shopping center, right, store environment.
Exactly. And actually, the way that that's kind of trending right now with people doing more of their shopping online, that's almost becoming more like an office job as more companies hire people to man their computers to do the retail work on that end. So that's kind of an interesting shift, too. But you're still staying inside and avoiding the heat. That's the route that you're going in the summer.
Yeah. All right. So the highest paying one on the list, painting, construction, and maintenance worker.
Yes, highest paying and also the most labor intensive. With the possible exception of landscaping, which I did in high school, which you also run the risk of running into rattlesnakes and scorpions like I did. Not the most fun job to do in the Southwest. But, yeah, the painting, construction, and maintenance. This time of year, right now, people are home sales have actually increased within the past couple of months. The National Association of Realtors has projected about a 17%, somewhere in that neighborhood, growth of existing home sales. So as people are putting their homes out on the market more and more, they need to gussy them up a little bit. So you bring in landscapers, bring in people to paint the house, take care of it, make sure that its maintenance is up to date. A lot of great opportunities for that this time of year.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast.com. And this small business report has been brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you use most, plus special deals for additional savings on ink and toner. Staples, make more happen. It is 21 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News, on this Independence Day. Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to the state that went from 49th to 10th best in corporate business income tax, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the last 5 years, and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate? All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice for your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. MichiganBusiness.org. As we head deeper into the summer, here come the warnings about the dangers of prolonged skin exposure to the sun. One of those issuing warnings is a guy who speaks from experience, Baseball Hall of Famer Mike Schmidt, who got skin cancer a couple of years ago. Schmidt played 18 seasons with the Phillies, is widely considered one of the greatest third basemen of all time, and ranks 16 in total home runs for his career with 548. Mike, did you ever even wear sunblock during your playing days?
I went out in the sun most of my young life, into high school and college, and most of my major league career without sun protection other than the baseball hat, which, in fact, I don't think protects you as much as it should, but, you know, protects your nose and your forehead. But there's a lot of other parts of your skin that are, for me, almost every day of my life out in the sun. And in 2013, I was lucky enough to have caught a mole on my back at a visit to my dermatologist, and it was diagnosed as melanoma, and spent about a year and a half treating it, and it was a pretty tough year and a half in my life, but it taught me a pretty strong lesson that the sun's rays are very serious, and now I never go out without sunscreen, an SPF 30 or higher. I have a closet full and a drawer full of sun SPF protection shirts and wide-brim hats that I wear, and I do my best when I'm out. I still go to a swimming pool from time to time with my grandkids, but I'll sit in the shade, and if I go in the pool, I'll wear some kind of a swim top. And you know, I basically look at the sun as something I want to help to grow the plants in my yard and keep my grass green and, and all that, but something I really don't want to be in much with my bare skin exposed.
We're speaking with Baseball Hall of Famer Mike Schmidt. He's teamed up with the American Academy of Dermatology to get the message out about protecting yourself from the sun with sunblock. I got to ask you, as a radio guy, I always love listening to Harry Callis. And that home run call he made of yours of number 500, tell me you can do a Harry Callis impersonation, because you must have heard that a million times.
Yeah, let's see. Out of here, home run, Michael Jack Schmidt.
I could listen to that all day.
Yeah, that was one of the sort of defining calls of my career, and I'm honored to have had such a great announcer and baseball man and friend as Harry Callis, having used that many, many times.
Yeah. Swinging a long drive. Oh, that's just great stuff.
Very good. That's it. Swinging a long drive. There it goes.
I
even laugh when I want to think about it.
Go to baseball for just a second. I was reading something before you and I started talking. Was it true Pete Rose at one time said he wished he had your body and he'd be willing to trade his and his wife's and cash to have yours?
Yeah, I think if you go way back, I think old Pete might have said that at one point in time. But, you know, he was great at coming off with little quips like that. And back then when Pete Rose said that about you, you'd have been quite happy, yeah.
Does he belong in the Hall of Fame, Mike? Where do you stand on that?
Well, you know, Pete's career was without question one of the all-time, well, Hall of Fame-worthy careers. Now, if you add in some of the things that have happened in Pete's life, obviously the gambling issue won. He had some issues with the Internal Revenue Service, and you know, it's very unfortunate that Pete, when he was given an opportunity to, you know, admit to gambling on the game, he didn't for about 14 years, I think. I think he lived in denial, and then eventually he did admit to it, and we thought at that point in time his opportunity to be reinstated, and the new commissioner has decided that he basically put an end to the whole Pete Rose reinstatement issue. He has allowed Pete to appear at ballparks and maybe, you know, have numbers retired and have days and for teams like Philadelphia and Cincinnati to honor him. But they've said that Pete will never be reinstated into baseball. And I guess so. That pretty much answers your question.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Mike Schmidt, Philadelphia Phillies, and Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, a good Independence Day to you. Monday, July 4, Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Coming up this half hour, how to wow the crowd during this afternoon's barbecue. Great American road trips for people who vacation by themselves. And the best and worst cities to celebrate July 4th. That story in about 20 minutes. History has its own. If you're headed to New York this summer on vacation and are determined to see Hamilton on Broadway, beware. Scammers are waiting for you. Here's this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
It's the hottest ticket in town, and if you're not careful, you can get burned. Would-be Broadway goers are sometimes getting scammed by fake Hamilton tickets. Here with more is Laura Petreca of USA Today. Laura, first of all, what's the demand like for Hamilton tickets?
Oh, the demand is outrageous. The show is sold out through January, and it really is the hottest ticket in town, especially after the Tonys when it nabbed so many awards.
How is this scam working?
Well, there's lots of different scams out there. People sometimes post on Craigslist that they've got tickets, and then folks show up to meet them, and they hand over what looks like legitimate tickets to the theater, but they're actually not. They're just copies that someone made on a high-end printer with high-end technology, so the tickets actually look real, and people think they're getting the real thing, but they're not. Another thing that people are doing are making copies of legitimate tickets. So if you get an e-ticket, you have a barcode on there, you can just make a bunch of copies of that and hand it out to people.
Sounds like a pretty sophisticated operation to be able to make tickets that look exactly like they should.
Yeah, and technology's really helped if you think about it, because now we've got really high-end printers, you've got complicated computer programs that really can dive in and replicate tickets. So the technology has helped some of the scammers get ahead.
Laura, is this something that's been around for a while?
Well, I talked to the Broadway League, and they said that overall, counterfeit tickets on Broadway are rare, which is good to know. But when a counterfeiter goes after a show, they're going to go after the hottest ticket in town. So it's happening with Hamilton, and it's happened with the Book of Mormon. So it has happened in the past. And, of course, it happens with other shows as well beyond Broadway. It happens with concerts, and it happens with sporting events. So the buyer just has to beware.
Yeah, is there any way you can protect yourself from fake tickets?
I think the biggest thing is to not let your emotions get ahead of you, because with a play like with the biggest thing is to not let your emotions get ahead of you. So with a musical like Hamilton, or even a concert or a sporting event that you really want to go to, sometimes people get so excited about going that they really don't put a whole lot of thought that they should put into where they're getting their tickets from. So the first thing is to take a deep breath, sit back, compare prices, compare websites. When you look at a website to buy a ticket, first look up the reviews. Go to the Better Business Bureau site and see what kind of grades it has. Take your time to do some due diligence. And in that case, if you do some research, it might help someone from getting scammed.
We're speaking with Laura Petrucca of USA Today about scam tickets for Hamilton. Laura, what can StubHub or any of these other secondary ticket sellers do about this? Are they doing anything about it?
On more of some of the legitimate sites that are selling tickets, the secondary sites, overall, ticket scams are rare because they do a lot of vetting before and a lot of vetting after, but they do happen. Some of the sites I talked to said it happens on rare occasions, less than 1% of the time, but it does happen. And if you're that person standing outside of Hamilton and you can't get in, it's really frustrating. So the sites have different policies. But in general, the best thing to do if you buy a ticket from a secondary seller site and you're standing outside a theater and can't get in is to contact them. Most of them, not all, but most of them will try to get you another ticket for that night. StubHub, in fact, said they're being proactive and they're buying extra tickets so they have them on hand to get a person another entry if they are denied. Also, if you're buying a ticket online, check the policy. If your ticket isn't valid, just make sure to get your money back and your fees back. So, of course, it's so disappointing not to get into the show. But what's even one step worse than that is to not get into the show and not get your money back.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Petrucca at USA Today with this morning's Jennifer Koshenka. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. 4th of July is apparently the biggest grilling day of the year. Spotlight on your skills, right? To help backyard chefs prepare an epic menu, Great American Barbecue Tour host Mike Peters is here to share his grilling expertise. Mike, start off with what your tour does.
We travel border to border and coast to coast, festivals, grocery stores, to promote barbecue, promote grilling, and getting people on board with flavors and cooking outside.
Very good. That's the gospel of Q, as it's called.
Yes, it is.
And that means what exactly? Do everything on the grill?
You know what? You can literally do everything on a grill. Ceramics, you can bake, you can smoke, you can roast, you can do a little bit of everything on the grill. But it's the bigger part of barbecue and grilling is you're doing it typically with people that you love,
family
and friends, around an open fire, and it doesn't get any better than that.
Which means the margin for error is much greater. You have much more leeway or forgiveness when it's family and friends, right?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, a lot of people try to cook too hot and too fast, or everybody's in a hurry. And grilling is the time to just slow down and grill. Slow down and chill, slow down and grill. Lower heat is definitely more forgiving, and it allows you to spend some time doing things with the people you love.
I use a gas grill. Do you still find reason to have a conversation with me, or am I dismissed?
You know what? We can change that. Give me time. But a lot of people have gas grills. turn the knob on the top and you hit a button and you're good to go. That's okay. It's still a flame and it's still food. So it's okay. I don't mind it at all. And you can get some of the great smoky flavor out of a gas grill as what I can when I use the hardwood lump charcoal. Wood chips soaked down in water, wood chips wrapped up in a little aluminum foil burrito is like I like to call it.
Wow.
Poke some holes in it, throw that right on top of the grill. It's going to give you some nice smoky flavor.
How about that? What's the biggest mistake, Mike, that you find most of us make?
Cooking on hot. Too high a heat. Everybody wants it on 10 because they want it now. They don't want to wait and wait to let the heat do the thing, its own thing to the meat, so to speak. They want it now, and so too high heat is the biggest mistake that I see people do. Turn on medium to low heat and just let it go a little bit longer. It'll help get that heat into the proteins, whether it's chicken or steaks or whatever. And I guess steaks, because it's a beef, is a thicker protein, a thicker muscle-wise, higher heat isn't going to affect it as much, just a little bit shorter time. So, but chicken, pork, definitely a little bit medium heat would be great. I'm with you there, and there's a lot of good temperature guides or temperature alarm pieces, gadgets to help you with that process anymore. There's amazing the things that are out there.
When you and your wife get invited to the neighbor's house for a barbecue, do you have a hard time, or does your wife have a hard time not taking over? You are a champion barbecue pitmaster. That's serious.
All of our neighbors know by now when we pull a 40-foot gooseneck trailer that's all branded out, labeled out, has all the sponsors on it. When we get home, they know we're there. So we'll usually get calls. Normally they know we're coming from a barbecue, so we're bringing home leftovers, and we don't eat barbecue anymore. It goes all to the neighbors. When we get invited over on a spare weekend off, we bring the sides. So we'll bring a potato salad, or we'll bring extra condiments, things like that. We'll bring the sides to do. Let them be the grill master at their own house. And I try to bite my tongue. And, and all of our neighbors pretty well now are pretty well-versed.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Peters, host of the Great American Barbecue Tour. 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Summertime means vacation time, right? But for more and more Americans, vacation time means traveling by yourself. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill has a list of the best trips for solo travelers. Katie, what'd you do here?
I talk to a bunch of people who do this all the time. One of the things to look for, cities with great public transportation and great bike systems make it super easy for a solo traveler. You don't have to worry about renting a car and parking and dealing with all that. D.C. Was a top pick among a bunch of people. I mean, their museums are really great, which tend to be great to explore solo. You know, you can silently kind of gaze at everything and look around. They have a great bike share program in D.C. too. Gets a little hot in the summer, so I don't really recommend going right now, but throughout the rest of the year, D.C. is a really good pick.
Yeah. All right, where else?
Portland is interesting. Portland's known for two things. One, it's just a friendly city, and it's got great outdoors. So you can take hikes. You know, you want to get away from it all. There are tons of parks, tons of hiking. And they have a lot of restaurants with communal tables. You know, it's kind of the hipster haven. There's communal tables. There's food trucks, and everybody kind of gathers around the food truck. So on the one hand, you can do a lot of solo, you know, hiking and communing with nature. And on the other, when you're tired of that, there's a ton of, like, great bars and restaurants and food trucks where you can kind of go out and meet people.
How about that? We're speaking with Market Watch reporter Katie Hill. Her piece is called Eight Best American Trips for Solo Travelers. Where to next, our host?
Sedona, Arizona. Now, this place is known. It's, first of all, it's beautiful, the Red Rocks, but it's known for its spas and wellness. So if you want to, you know, maybe you've had a super stressful year and you just want to unplug, don't talk to anybody, you know, go get massages and do yoga. Sedona is a really good pick for that.
Interesting. All right, so New York made the list also.
This might sound crazy to some people. Some people think, I will never travel alone to New York. Here's the thing. New York, like Broadway tickets, right? It's so much easier to get a last-minute great deal on, say, a Broadway ticket if you're a single person than two people. You know, you can go snag a lot of those. Plus, New York, there's a great, you know, go to any of these amazing restaurants where you're probably not going to get a table, but if you go pop up to the bar, there's a lot of other single people doing business that are just sitting up there. So very easy to meet people that way. And, yeah, I mean, you can't beat the single one-off really cheap Broadway ticket. You might not get one for Hamilton. Hamilton, but you might get one for something else.
That's funny, because here you are trying to get away, yet you're going to one of the most crowded places you could possibly go, right?
Right. Yeah. You know what? It's some people's cup of tea. I mean, I live here. I'd say I'm going to Sedona, but, you know, other people might feel the opposite.
Another city out west, too, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Explain that one.
Yeah, this is a lot, has a lot of things like Sedona. I mean, Santa Fe, there's a lot of yoga, wellness. There's also a huge art scene here. I think a lot of people who, you know, you can go look at art, that's a great solo activity. There are 250 galleries, 14 museums in Santa Fe. So that's a good option for, you know, the photographer, the artist, someone like that who also wants a great kind of spa and wellness center too.
Thanks, Katie. Market Watch reporter Katie Hill, who's based in New York. It is 7 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. All right, let's finish the hour with this, a list of the best and worst July 4th celebrations, if you haven't, say, mapped out your plans yet. The list is from WalletHub.com. They measured three categories: entertainment and food, attractions and activities, and 4th of July weather forecast. Number one on the list, Seattle, Washington. Number two, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number three, New Orleans. Number four, the nation's capital. And number five, Portland, Oregon. I got to say, I'm a little disappointed with Dallas. Ranks number one for entertainment and food, yet is ranked 42nd overall, thanks to weak numbers for attractions and activities and weather. Rounding out the top 10, number 6, St. Louis, Missouri. Number 7, San Diego, California, thanks to that weather ranking, right of number 4. Milwaukee at number 8. San Francisco, number 9, which, by the way, got a number 1 ranking for weather. Number 10, Orlando, Florida. Bigger cities, harder to find. New York City coming in only at number 12, but it did get a 6 for weather. One other note here. Also disappointing, Long Beach, California. Number 3 on the list for weather, yet horrible scores for entertainment and food and attractions and activities, dragging Long Beach to number 43 overall. Come on, man. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.